If you're doing video marketing on YouTube to grow your business, that's a smart move. But there are some mistakes that everyone makes that we're going to try to help you avoid. And one of my first mistakes that I recommend people don't do is don't invest in a huge video production budget before you really know what you're going to do. That can be a lot of money you put in the wrong direction. Shelly, what's one of your things that businesses should not do when they get started on YouTube?
Spend a lot of money thinking that people care about your logos, stingers, intros, branded graphics, especially on YouTube. Absolutely not.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing is, do they care about you? Do they care about your business? Should you be talking about yourself all the time? I say no. What do you say?
I completely agree with you. And in fact, one of the big cardinal sins is forgetting that a lot of the time people think YouTube is about you, but I'm going to say YouTube is about the viewer and the viewer experience. And businesses also get this wrong because they're very keen to show off some new shiny bits and bobbles of something that they've got, but they forget about how does it benefit the end user, the customer. And so that's why the you has sometimes been forgotten on like who the you actually is. And so most of the time brands and businesses get that wrong.
Yeah. Is the you in YouTube, you the business, you the creator, or is it you the viewer or the customer? And that is one of the things we think about when we're doing business. We think about what the customer wants to do, what they want to buy, but we don't always think about what they want to watch and what environment they're in and what are their needs as far as what they want to watch. But if you think of it as serving your customer when you're creating a video, think about the thing that they're asking themselves and what sort of is the ideal question to answer in that right time. And what are they doing at that time? Because it's very different than when they're actually shopping. What is another mistake people might make?
I am going to piggyback on what you just said for a second, because I used to work at a big Fortune, 100 company, and one of their values was customer obsession and everything. It wasn't just a company that really had mouth service around it. The decision was, you know, is this faster for the customer if they're on the checkout page? Is this better for our customer if we do or say yes to this thing that's an exception? And it was at the heart of everything, and it was about customer obsession. And so I think when we come back to that point of who is the you in YouTube for a business channel, most of the business channels that I think are more successful are the ones who realize that the you in this instance is for how to make their viewer or customer's life better, not just how to make their company look better. But another cardinal sin or mistake that I think businesses have is not actually recognizing that if a question has been asked more than once in a community forum, in a Facebook page, in anywhere else online that they have it, not to make a video and have it almost be like an FAQ repository and start building up content around questions that people have about their service.
Okay, Shelly, here's a mistake that tons of businesses make that's one of my pet peeves and one of the first things we can do to help businesses get on the right track. They don't really think about their thumbnails of their YouTube videos in the right way. The thumbnail is the beginning of a view. You don't get a view until you get a click, and the thumbnail is what makes somebody stop and consider whether they should click. And if you think about it, this is sort of how I present it. Most people are going to see those thumbnails the size of 2 inches across, the actual size of your thumbnail. And in addition, it's in a sea of other thumbnails. So it has to be very, very easy to understand and click on. And here's the one mistake that a lot of businesses make is they make every thumbnail look almost exactly the same. It's the same person standing up there smiling as if it's a portrait photo, and then 30 words of text right next to their face, same colors. You know what? You can't know. What you need to know is if you've clicked on that video before, and you can't know, so you feel like you've already clicked on it, and even so, you can't read it, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's because a lot of businesses want to get into this, oh, it's repeatable. Oh, it's, you know, and that's the only way I'm going to be able to do things is at least if I have some sort of template, at least I can just shove that person's face in there with, you know, the different looks. But it really is kind of the lazy person's way out. It's better than nothing. It's better than probably a YouTube generated thumbnail for the most part, but it's not going that extra bit for the intrigue of wanting people to actually come and view the video. It's just a thing to get done on a checklist. And so absolutely, it's a cardinal sin. It's good that they're doing custom thumbnails, but it would be better if they actually took the time to make a better custom thumbnail.
Okay, and what's your next mistake?
All right, my next mistake is not going live or doing any kind of video series that might be like an Ask Me Anything with the like the founders or people higher up in the company. A lot of the time what we get is as companies get very large, they get very disconnected from their communities or they don't know updates that are coming or why decisions are made. And I've seen some really great companies where they'll do with their founders once a quarter and people love to come in and do a town hall or these are the newest things that are coming in our upcoming release and oh wow, we're so excited for this. And getting to hear it from the top level people is really exciting and engaging for the community that is being built and people love it. And I just don't see a lot of companies doing that and they should.
You know, it's funny because my tip, my mistake for businesses is the exact opposite. And that is because when a business that has like less than 20 people gets started on YouTube, often it is the CEO or the president or the marketing head that takes on the YouTube. I'm going to spearhead this. I am going to be the person on camera. But then they realize very quickly when it starts to do well that it takes about 15 to 20 hours a week. If one person's going to do this at minimum, you got to come up with the ideas. You got to get the tech down. You got to understand how to do it. You got to edit it, all these things. Mine is so is the exact opposite is you have to get, you have to spread it around and make it a mission of the entire company to represent your company on YouTube, which means initially, let's start with two or three people that we are going to have on YouTube in different ways. And everyone just sort of has to get going as we go along. But what happens for that small business, whether it's a tech business or any other business, a B2B, whatever it is, you start to feel like, oh, that's that person. No, that's that person. And when a customer calls, they're like, hey, you know, I saw the one with June and Steven and Phil. Do you work with them? Do you know them? Oh, yeah, I work with them. And you feel like you already know them. This takes a company-wide effort, unfortunately, and it's not always easy to do. And companies may not see the value of this right away. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to jump in with you. Well, it depends. It's always the answer.
Oh, wait, but, water drink. I've, she said it depends.
Okay, me too.
Mm-hmm. Everyone listening has to drink a sip of water.
One of the things that I will say is when you decide, let's say some CEOs decide they're not the person that wants to be on camera talking about their product, even though they're usually the one that knows the most about it because it starts with them and, you know, their ideas. And so it can be like it starts with them and then all of a sudden it takes off. They're like, oh, this takes way much more time than I'm devoted to because I want to make the company better. So I need to work on my business, not in my business. So then they decide I'm going to hire someone else. This is where I would say you want to caution because if you hire only one person and that person becomes known as the face of the brand, or if that person gets into a scandal, or if that person decides to leave, you could find yourself in a bit of a pickle if you put your whole identity into one main person being on camera. And so it's interesting because some companies I've seen do a rotating cast. Some people do different features with different groups or departments based on, you know, maybe a different part of the month. And so it's going to be a consideration that some businesses are going to have to keep in mind because of the fact that there have been instances where the person who was on camera was mistaken as the CEO of the company.
Oh, sure.
At different events because they're the face of the company. And that could lead to some bad things down the road, especially if they decide to leave. Just remember when the Verizon guy became the can you hear me now, and then switched to AT&T or to Sprint and then came back to Verizon. And there's only so many times you can do that. And you're like, I don't know who that guy is. They're just the cell phone person, which is also not what you want. So you would want to be and exercise some due caution with that.
Yeah. And, you know, here is one of the best things, if anything good came out of the panini, as you call it, except for people being with their families a lot, which is a lot of that is good. Here's the thing that is good is that people got really used to being on Zoom, which people get tired of Zoom meetings, but that means there's a lot more people in your organization that are comfortable being on camera than there weren't before. And so you have a choice of, you have this meeting with them every week, pick that person that is most comfortable on camera and speaking on camera. That's probably going to be your best YouTube person to start with and see how they evolve. And you can pick two or three. And when you have a handful of people that are rotating, one leaving your company after a while doesn't become such a stress. And it should be. Being on video, I think, is sort of a fundamental thing you need to do as a business now anyway, whether it's no matter what the platform is. Here's another one. Here's another mistake, thinking that YouTube is like, I'll say Instagram is probably the easiest, most confused thing, because Instagram is a common thing that businesses do. And they're like, well, I do Instagram. I'm just going to move that on to YouTube. I'm going to get my million viewers again. Everything is going to be great. It is not the same. No platform is the same as any other platform. YouTube is its own thing. One of the benefits is that it's searchable in a way that most other platforms are not. And it's long tail, which is extremely valuable. You build one asset and you can keep it. It's valuable for you, bring it in business for years. But it is not like any other platform. And sometimes even the same people shouldn't be doing it. Shelley?
I agree with you. There are specific intricacies and nuances on all platforms. Like for a long time, you would probably just have no engagement or awful engagement if you put a 16:9 wide video on Pinterest, you know, because that's not where people were going to watch widescreen video of all places. You know, and or you would have a really hard time having something that was in a square format in other places specifically. So now, there are places where I'm like, oh, this is going to be a Facebook video. It probably should be square, probably should have the branded element, and it probably should have captions already burned into it, because that's a lot of the way that people watch stuff on Facebook. So, but we know that because we're on the platforms, we see what is working on the platforms, and we don't just treat everything exactly the same. So I agree with you.
Okay, well, what's another mistake that you think that businesses make?
I think a huge one is basically all centered very much around the same thing, which is customer or engagement with viewer. Now, that could be anything from not utilizing your community tab, using it for surveys, using it for any kind of polls, not using the comment section to look for ideas for new videos, not responding to comments with shorts that don't deserve an entire long video, and not doing things that actually the audience is asking for. So a lot of that content and that community that is built is usually in response to questions that they have, or, you know, the interaction that is built there. So I think that it's a huge miss for most of them, because they put the content out there about their product or business and not about the customer, what they need. And then they ignore everyone who actually interacts with them. and then they don't ask for more feedback when it comes to using the community tab. So not focusing on any of those things is just 5 million different ways of showing your customer you don't care about them or their voice.
And one of the other mistakes that people make in business is not leading with value in the YouTube. They want to talk about all them about themselves before they start giving value. And we did not make that mistake with this podcast and this video, because we didn't even tell people who we were yet. We led with value, but now I am going to tell you who we are. My name is Dane Golden from vidaction.tv, and we help businesses with their YouTube ads and optimizing their channels. And that's my co-host, Shelley Saves the Day. Hi, Shelley.
Hello, hello. I'm Shelly Saves the Day, and I create content on YouTube about how to YouTube smarter, better, faster, all the things. And I also am the president of my own company called Content Minis, where we help creators take their long-form content or video podcast and create YouTube Shorts or other short-form vertical video.
ContentMinis.com, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you guys can subscribe to this podcast, leave a review, subscribe to the YouTube playlist on my channel that has these videos, anything you like. But let's talk about leading with value, because we see something every day as YouTube marketers, and that is called audience retention. And you just don't see this in any other platform in the same way, just sort of spelled out for you. Here is when people are quitting your video. That's what this graph shows, and it goes whoosh like that, unless people love your video, when it just goes like this. And I will tell you, most people do not watch to the end of your video. Mm-hmm. In almost any video you have, it's very rare that people are going to be watching to the end. But what you can learn from this graph is when people stop watching or drop off, or you're finding either the wrong market or the wrong timing, or you're pitching it wrong, or you're not getting to your topic fast enough. What we recommend is that you need to have a correlation from whatever your title and topic and thumbnail are and what is happening in the first few seconds, right? People are so ready to click off. They're just like, well, they promised me this thing. I don't believe in people's promises. I will wait to see if they're really delivering on it. If it's not enticing, if it's not intriguing, and if it's not offering value, they will leave in a heartbeat. Sometimes never to return to your channel again, because if you think about it, what the algorithm does is says, if people click on this video and stop watching it, do not recommend this to anyone else. Stop recommending this. And if you stop recommending this video and you keep doing that, they're going to say, don't recommend any of these videos to anyone. So that's why that first few seconds of reassuring, I think of it as reassuring the person in whatever way that what they clicked on is right. So sometimes we put a lower third, which is just text on the bottom that says whatever the title was, but in two words, like how to ride a horse. You know, we put how to ride a horse in text, or we say, today I'm going to show you how to ride a horse, or we show me riding a horse if you're trying to learn how to ride a horse, that type of thing. Because that is so important to capture their interest right away. Shelley, what do you do? How do you do that?
Well, I think that, again, a cardinal mistake for most people is thinking that people care about you, your brand, your business right away in the beginning of the video.
Not everyone loves me.
Usually, there is still a stronghold out there, like you said, evergreen tail end. For a long time, people are looking for answers, you know, search content a lot of the time. And so when that is happening and you see the list of results of videos, most of the time people will be like, well, this one's 2 minutes and this one's 9 minutes. I'm going to go watch the 2 minute one. And what that 2 minute video has probably done is cut out all additional fluff. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all, I'm sorry I haven't been uploading. My mom has been sick. Or, you know, this is all the places that you can find me on social media. You know, probably with a 2 minute video, it can only be the meat and potatoes of what they're actually there for. So not only are people biased to probably find the shortest answer possible, but if they start that video and it's, you know, the bad audio and the long intro, they'll just find another video. Like you said, you have to catch them in the very beginning. So if it is something like you have to show a finished product, or you have to give them the ideal outcome, or you have to almost show, not tell, and restate what the problem is that they're having. And like you said, reassure them that you're going to help them solve that issue. And so I think that's what a lot of businesses get wrong, because they'll be like, we're located in sunny California. And, you know, we started our business 6 years ago. And we're like, that's great, Susie. We don't care about any of that, right? They care about that in one specific video that's about the company. But most of the time, that's not what they're there for.
Okay. Here's a tip that I give that a lot of people don't think about, and that is have a gatekeeper of the YouTube channel. Have one person that owns it, is in charge of it, and gets to say, no, that is not going to be on our channel. Think about it this way. You're a business. You have a blog. It's content marketing, right? You write something that's interesting to people. They show up. What if anyone on the company could just say, hey, I wrote something. Let's upload it to the blog. That's insane, right? But that's what happens with YouTube a lot, is somebody says, hey, we made a video about this, we made a video about that. You have to think of it like a sort of a TV channel. And if you your TV channel is about beauty and someone wants to upload a video about lawnmowers, that's the wrong video to upload. So someone has to be in charge of it. Shelley, what's a mistake that people, another mistake people make?
So this one could be a bit of a hot take, but when it comes to YouTube and advertising, and they also have this now in the promote section, but one, people forget, or businesses and brands forget, that you don't have to run an ad on only your own videos. You could go into a partnership with someone who maybe is like a fan of your stuff and work out a deal where you run an ad against their video. You could contract with them to create basically an ad using that video. You could, you know, you don't even have to have a public video on your YouTube channel that becomes your ad. It could be an unlisted video or just everything that has to do, not realizing that not only is there a right time and place to use ads, but it may not even be videos that are on your channel. And I know specifically too, when it comes to ads, there could be something where they could contact you and you could walk them through a whole bunch of different ins and outs of advertising, why you may or may not want to do something. But I think people forget about that. They're like, this video could be an ad, or someone else's video could be an ad, or we have a video that could be an ad that doesn't even have to be public.
Yes. And we don't think about, one of the other mistakes businesses make is we don't necessarily think about, or we just don't have enough experience to know how people are watching YouTube. What time of day do they watch it? What device? You know, we don't think. We think everyone's, oh, I'm uploading to a computer. Everyone else must be watching on a computer. But if you look at analytics, most people watch on a phone. Most people watch YouTube on a phone. However, a growing category is television. People watch a lot of YouTube on television, and it's not just entertainment. They watch a lot of business videos on television, and they watch them at the craziest times of day. You look at your analytics of business channels, sometimes it's like a video late at night on a Saturday, but they're watching something about work. So, but it may not be the number one time, but just think about that most things have to be watchable on a YouTube, on a phone, but they also have to be good enough that they don't look terrible on a television. And that's something hard to do. Shelley, you're a professional editing company. How do you figure out how good does something have to, does everything have to be 4K or 8K or how do you what's good enough to be on all those things?
I mean, 720 is pushing it on the downside. Uh-huh. I think that 8K is probably overkill in most people's instances, because I think 70% of watch time is going to be on mobile, a lot of which phones can't even handle that, or their own internet service providers or their cellular providers are capping them sometimes at 720p streaming anyway, or some countries will actually do less just so they can save on bandwidth and data. So 4K is future-proofing, 8K is overkill is how I would say it, but you know, and there are few and far between televisions that support 4K as well. So I wouldn't stress out if you're trying to determine between 1080 and 4K. I think if you can do 4K and it's not a heavier lift for you and your machines or anything like that, then do it. But if not, 1080 is fine. I do think that people, like you mentioned, they forget it could be viewable across all different devices. So if you're someone who does Excel spreadsheets and showing people formulas and stuff like that, you're probably not going to be too well served if 70% of the time people are watching your video, it's zoomed out on the entire big screen of the Excel spreadsheet, and you didn't, you know, Command Plus and make it, you know, 400% bigger so that you can see the cells in which you're starting to make your formula. You know, little things like that, it may seem like, you're going to see it on a big screen. But for the majority of people, they're not. So you're going to have to do things like the call-outs and the zoom-ins and the maybe big arrow, you know, never underestimate the good arrow pointing at where you want them to click, or, you know, the click sound and those types of things that can really help kind of boost that visual presentation, because a lot of videos need it. And depending, some people don't think about those details, but then all of a sudden you have more angry customers because they didn't hit the right button or they didn't know where the button it was. And they then think, your software is defective, or, you know, they can't use your product and so they want to return it. Now you've got churn because people were trying to learn how to do it and then they got more confused. So just make it easier for them and make it really huge a lot of the time, bigger than you think you would want to, because it needs to be overly obvious for some people.
And Shelley, as someone who is both an editor, a teacher of editors, and someone who retains editors in your company, what are some of the mistakes that businesses make when hiring editors that they can easily avoid? Some of the basics.
Again, coming back to who's my audience and who's watching. If you are a, let's go back to the Excel. If let's say you're teaching people how to use Excel for the very, you know, first time, and that's your business is teaching people how to use Excel, and they don't really know how to do it, then having all of these kind of huge light leaks and like all kinds of transition that are like very jarring and like shaking the screen and stuff like that, it doesn't make sense. Not only in the context, it's just there to be cool. It's not there to enhance the experience. It's not there for any other reason, because they really wanted to use an effect. And so when you start looking at it, you have to think audience in mind first. If they're going to be viewing this, they're probably not going to appreciate a whole bunch of flashing things between. When you, let's say you have a how to sign into the Google and get into your Google sheet, you have to log into Google and then you get transported into a sheet, a blank sheet. But there's that little time in between where the wheel is spinning and then the screen goes white and then it launches you into it. If you like cause someone to have basically a whole bunch of flashing screens during that time, you could cause someone to have a seizure during that time. So having a very tasteful, this is the screen and then this is the new screen, and taking out all the rest of the stuff that makes it seem like the flash screen is flashing. It's a small thing, but it's a thing that you would think about as the viewer, not as necessarily the editor. The editor doesn't care. They might just like do it at 300 speed, which just causes it to flash faster, if that makes sense. So keeping those things in mind, again, who's viewing it and what does that viewing experience look like?
Who is viewing it? And one of the mistakes I think businesses make, and no one really says you need to do this, is you need a collaboration tool to work with your editor. Now, there are many different types of these tools now. There's frame.io, which is owned by Adobe now. Mm-hmm. There's Whipster. You can use it on Vimeo. You can use it on Descript. A lot of these tools have it built in. And what do I mean? And ClickUp, I think, has a pretty good method of it, someone said. Here's the thing, is when you have your video, you should be able to comment on a second-by-second basis or even make an annotation somewhere in that second-to-second basis. Put the logo here. Put it on the left. You know, this zoom in here. Make the text more clear. This is a spelling error. Those types of things, because the back and forth of email just doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
You need to demand more from your editor, and that is the use of some sort of collaboration tool to get it done. That's one thing. How about you, Shelley? What's a mistake from you? Not by you, from your reference of experience.
I would say a big mistake is for brands and businesses not thinking that they need to be on YouTube. You know, just like some creators thinking, I don't need to have a website. You know, and so a lot of brands and businesses will be like, well, I have a website.
Yeah.
I'm like, great, but do you have embedded video? Well, you could do that from your YouTube channel. Or do you have people that might find you? Not from your website, probably on YouTube. It seems like it is like the new, just like you have an Instagram or a Twitter or a company branded Facebook page, you should have a company branded YouTube channel. And I will die on that hill. Every single brand and business out there should have their own YouTube channel.
And you mentioned websites and blogs. A lot of businesses do content marketing through blogs. By content marketing, they don't say, excuse me, here's how awesome we are. They find something that their customer wants to know how to do, and they make a tutorial about that, and they say, and by the way, we're a business in this industry. Do business with us. That's sort of our same approach that we recommend with YouTube in a slightly different way. A written tutorial is not how you necessarily would do a video tutorial. In fact, here's something that most people don't realize. When people are watching a video tutorial, they actually don't want to know every single granular step. And it gets kind of boring. You can say, here, read this more. But particularly with like things like cooking and things like that, you actually don't want the entire recipe told you step by step by step. You want the experience, and you will learn through osmosis, but you don't actually want every little step told in a granular way. But a blog in cooperation with a video where you can link from one to another, you can embed it. It not only helps both get ranked higher in Google, which is great to have those YouTube videos and a blog post for the same thing ranked on Google in the first page, and you don't pay for anything. And it's because they integrate, because you've embedded from one, you've linked to it from YouTube, they both do better. So I believe we recommend, as part of our flywheel of growing your YouTube brand, YouTube and blog go together. And that could be the same if you have a Substack or a LinkedIn blog or that type of thing too. What's another mistake people make, Shelley?
So I had, not only do they need to have a YouTube channel, but they need to teach people how to use their product. So whether that is an on-screen tutorial, best case studies, success stories, those types of things that illustrate how that software or that business helped someone else achieve their goal, which is really at the end of the day what you want to showcase, not so much the business itself, right? You're just like, it's great, Dane's great, wow, he comes into the office and works every day. But you want to be like, but what Dane was able to do is help Susie, and Susie was able to exponentially grow her income and impact and her business credibility by using the software that Dane created. And look, isn't this amazing? And aren't these the type of results that you would want too? And we could do that for you. Just contact us, right? That's the thing that I think people really get wrong with the business types of, especially ones that are like SaaS platforms, because it's not just about what the software does. Is what does it give back? It gives back time, convenience, collaboration, all of that type of benefit. And again, it's not about the shiny bells and whistles. It's about how it improves someone's life or makes it easier, gives them time back. So I feel, again, like if we always come back to it, it's that customer centric at the center of it all. Like, how does it benefit them? So I think the mistake was, one, not having the YouTube channel, two, not teaching people how to use your product, and three, not putting out content, period. And then, you know, four, like I said earlier, is like not listening to the people who are actually there in your community. I don't know how to use your thing, you know, or I have this question on this thing. All of that. It's all coming back to the customer. So not putting out content at all.
And the sort of inverse of that, and I see this a lot because I do a lot of analysis on B2B or tech channels. For some reason, and this always goes on, is they upload like three or four videos on a Friday afternoon. And different people, different types of businesses get different types of views. If you're some sort of entertainment or weekend type of experience, or people where people do weekend projects, you'll get more views on the weekend. If it's a B2B or tech, you know, style business, you're going to get views while people are at their laptops working. So Friday night is not the place to upload your video, and it's not the time to upload three or four videos. Please, 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 unless you've got tons and tons and tons of consistent traffic, please do not upload more than one video a day. And I think what happens is that they have this project and they say, well, it needs to be done by the end of the week. And finally, we got the stuff from the editor, so they upload them all at once. And you know what happens? What happens, Shelley?
They all do poorly because they all crush each other.
They all crush each other there's like 10 people watching and none of them want to watch four videos. And then you see this mass of videos from this one company that you're just sort of interested in. You're like, I do not want this many videos. I'm unsubscribing or I'm not clicking, which gives a cascading downward spiral, making nobody watch your videos. So really think about the experience and think of it more. I mean, hey, listen, Netflix, they launched the whole series at once. You, business, are not Netflix. Mm-hmm. You do not have 10 billion viewers watching on day one and you can promote any show you want. You have to fight it out with 10 billion other channels. So please think about when people would most like to see your videos and upload them then. Shelley?
I agree with all of that. Those are all of my tips.
That's all?
Do you have any? Yeah.
Make up a pretend one.
A mistake that businesses and brands not listening to this podcast or asking us for help.
What? Don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
It's a mistake they're making is not utilizing us for helping them grow their brands and businesses.
Okay. Shelly, until next week, how can people find out more about Shelly Saves a Day and content minis and all that stuff?
If you want to hang out with me, I live stream every Thursday, and that's on Shelly Saves the Day under YouTube. And then if you want to find out more about content minis, you can always go to my website, contentminis.com, or under shellysavesthedaycom. They're both there.
And I'm Dane Golden. Go to vidaction.tv, or if you want to book a call, a consulting call, go to talktodane.today. Until next week, here's to helping you help your customers through video.